But before we go into this reading, it's a brief letter that Paul writes to Philemon. Who is Philemon? Philemon. Paul is in prison, by the way, at the time of the writing of this letter. Philemon is a leader of the church in Colossae, which Paul has planted there. And in the house of Philemon, there have been church services, worship times in which Paul has led in the house and which was hosted by Philemon. Among those who would be participating in those services that were taking place in that little house church in Colossae were those who were working for and with Philemon. Philemon was a farmer, and he had many employees and some slaves that were a part of that, one of whom we meet in verse 10 is given to us by name, and that is Onesimus. Onesimus is a slave. We have an interesting situation, because in the context of this letter, we find that Onesimus has stolen from Philemon and is deeply afraid of Philemon. Well, not because Philemon is such a scoundrel and so harsh a taskmaster, but because the law of the time was such that if a slave was caught stealing from his master, the master would have every legal right, not necessarily the moral right biblically, but certainly every legal right to kill the slave. Stealing from your master was just not done. The penalty was death. And so Onesimus is fearful for his life. And he wonders now, what do I do? I certainly don't want to go back to Philemon now and talk to him, because I know what's going to happen there. At least I think I might know what he might have the right to do. Oh, I remember a man by the name of Paul who used to preach in this church, in this house, rather. I understand that he's in jail. I'm going to talk to him and get some advice from Paul as to what I should do and how we should resolve this. He goes to visit with Paul. Paul talks to him, counsels him, explains, Onesimus explains the situation. In the process of Paul consulting with Philemon, Paul presents the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And in that process, Onesimus becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. Now we have even a more unique situation. We have a Christian who has wronged a Christian, and that needs to be resolved. So Paul says to Onesimus, I'm going to speak on your behalf. Guided by the Holy Spirit, Paul writes a letter that Onesimus is to carry to Philemon, so that Philemon will have some instructions as to how to go about this situation that they are in. And this is the letter that he writes. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldiers, and the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet, for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but out of your own free will. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ and Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark and Aristarchus and Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And this ends the letter that Paul writes. But dear beloved, when we think about the Christian life, brothers and sisters, it is a reality of the Christian life that we need to make and go through some very awkward situations, very difficult things that we need to do in life. For some, it may be something as simple and mundane as the fear of going in for a job interview, not knowing what to say. Am I going to present myself correctly? I've got everything all prepared. Or maybe a young man or a young lady needing to talk to the boyfriend or the girlfriend and saying, hey, you know, I'm just not sure this is going to work out. That's not an easy thing to do. There may be different difficult things that we are called upon to do in life, in the Christian life. The topic of this letter is one that reflects another very, very difficult topic for the Christian. And that is the topic of forgiveness, as we have just looked at that. When we don't do it right, we end up with broken relationships, strained relationships at the very least, sometimes within family, siblings, parents and children, sometimes within the church family, brothers and sisters in the Lord, not quite getting along. The call to us is for what Paul is asking for in forgiveness. There are two words that are probably the most difficult for us to say, not just with our lips, but with our heart. And those are the words, I'm sorry, or forgive me. Sometimes we find it difficult to ask somebody to forgive us, don't we? Why? Well, I suspect that part of the reason may be that if I'm going to ask somebody to forgive me, it's a little bit embarrassing for me, right? Because it means that I have done something wrong. And I don't like to look badly in front of others. So if I have to say to somebody, I'm sorry, or if I have to say to somebody, will you please forgive me, I have to admit, humble myself. I have to humble myself to the point of saying, hey, as something didn't go right here, I want to ask you to forgive me. Two very difficult words to express from the heart. Oh, we can say it from the lips sometimes, but I mean from the heart. Let's look at that from the other side now. And think about how difficult it is also for us to forgive someone, to say the three most difficult words, I forgive you. Why is that so hard for us to do, to forgive someone? Well, once again, Think about the circumstances that may have created this, where you are called upon to forgive somebody because somebody has wronged you. You have been hurt. You have been offended. And it hurts deeply. And I want revenge. I was hurt. I want you to be hurt too. That's our natural human instinct. And yet God says to us, we are called upon to forgive. Really? Really. And so the most difficult words for us to express then would be those words, I forgive you. That's exactly what Paul's letter to Philemon is all about. Is what I'm saying making any sense at all, or I'm the only one here in this room who has caught myself in the situation of a breakdown or a strained relationship somewhere along the line? I think if we are all honest with ourselves, we can all say, hey, yeah, you know, been there, done that. The reason for the breakdown in marriages, for the strained relationships in family, for awkward situations, tension between church members, is because we have not learned properly how to reconcile whatever it is that makes it awkward or broken. The goal of forgiveness, as we'll see in this, is indeed complete reconciliation. When we don't learn to say, forgive me, when we don't learn to respond with saying, I forgive you, the result is disaster, broken relationships, stress, tension. But these problems aren't new. We're not unique to that here in the 21st century. Look through the scriptures and you'll see many, many examples of one who has harmed another, or a group that has done an injustice to another. It's a part of our human history. More than that, it's a part of our human nature to be at odds with one another. The only way that we can begin to understand all of this is to understand how important this whole concept of reconciliation was to Jesus Christ in his teachings. He's the model that Paul follows in this letter. Jesus Christ is the model that we are called upon to follow when we discover the fact that we must forgive one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Luke 1, verse 11, presents that as a part, fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. That's how important it was for Jesus, this concept. He calls upon us to pray this as a part of the model prayer. To pray this, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, as we perhaps King James Version style understand it more clearly. That's what Jesus teaches. In Matthew chapter 6, in the context of that, Jesus writes this, and he emphasizes this right after this Lord's Prayer, when he says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, when you forgive men, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So as we move into the context of this letter, we understand now what the scenario is between Philemon, the master, and Onesimus, the slave. The slave having become a follower of Jesus Christ because of the gospel witness of the Apostle Paul in prison, So Paul is now giving a teaching. God's Holy Spirit is teaching us about forgiveness, not by giving us a long article or books that have been written on the topic of forgiveness. He uses God's Holy Spirit, does this, a specific example in history that really happened. And he guides Paul along to write this letter so that you and I can hear about a real-life experience that happens and learn to model our life of reconciliation after that particular thing that actually really did happen. And it worked. Well, of course it worked. It's the model of Jesus Christ. Anything that follows the model of Jesus Christ will work because he's God. Anything that is followed on by the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit will work because he is God. And we look at this and we begin to understand then what's happening here. This is not simply a conflict between two people, just anyone. This is a broken relationship or strained relationships between two brothers in Christ now. And it is not enough for Philemon to simply say, God, will you please forgive me for what I have done against my brother? That vertical forgiveness needs to be there. But it doesn't stop there, you see. If we really are praying what the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, then we know that the forgiveness also needs to happen on a horizontal level. Philemon not only needs to be forgiven by God, he needs to address this with, Onesimus, not only needs to deal with God vertically, he needs to address this with Philemon and ask for his forgiveness. And Philemon must forgive him. It also is not enough for us to simply go to one another and try to resolve the situation between us and on a horizontal level. What we have done has, when we have offended our neighbor, we have offended God. And so we also need to ask forgiveness of him. It goes with both. One cannot go without the other, both the vertical relationship with God and our horizontal relationships in terms of our human relationships with one another. So Paul sets the stage on this. In the opening verses, it's simply some introductions, who's writing this and from whom and so on. But then in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, Paul sets the stage when he talks about the fact that he wants to emphasize faith and love as an introductory part of this. Paul knows that this is a very difficult situation. In verse 5, he introduces faith and love as being important qualities in this. In verse 6, he focuses on the faith part. In verse 7, he focuses on the love aspect, and that's carried over into verses 8 to 11. But what we see here is that Paul is now writing Philemon, and he said, what's important in all of this is faith and love. By the way, Philemon, verses 4 and 5. I've been really impressed. I'm very thankful for what I'm hearing, the reports that I'm getting from Colossae, from the church. I'm thankful to hear about your faith and your love. People have been telling me that you have been faithful to others and to God, that you have demonstrated love to God and to others. I'm so thankful for that, Philemon. And now I want you to put that into practice. That's where the rubber hits the road. They tell me you have faith and love. Do you? I have a situation going here, says Paul to Philemon, which will demonstrate whether you have true faith and true love. And that's the context, then, at least in terms of the background of what God is thinking about and the teaching of this is all about. In verses 8 to 11, then, we spill over into that first quality of love. And then we find in verses 12 through 16, that Paul is saying we also need to have a good understanding amongst each other. And in verses 17 to 21, we need to look at how the reconciliation is the goal of all of this. So those three things we're going to look at now. In verses 8 to 11, Paul is addressing Philemon. And he says, you know, I can be bold enough, he says in verse 8, doesn't he? To simply command this of you. I am your mentor. I am your spiritual mentor. You came to know the Lord under my ministry. And as the pastor, the apostle of those churches that are out there, I have the authority to simply say, you will forgive him. Do it. But I don't want to do that. I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. Philemon, I don't want you to do this out of sheer obligation. That's there. I want you to do this because you want to do this. You want to do this right. And as a matter of fact, in verses 18 and 19, just shooting ahead a little bit, it says, if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, verse 19, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. Listen, to say nothing of you owing even your own self. Who you are, God has worked through me by his Holy Spirit to make you and to put you in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You owe me. Paul could write. But Paul doesn't do that, does he? Even in verse 10, he repeats that appeal. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, the one whom he has just led into the Savior's arms, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. Obligation. Is that what it's all about? I'm seeing a lot of children here. And I know that in your homes, you're being taught about forgiveness. So let's just say, I hope there's not a John and a Mary here. There might be, but I'm going to use those two. All right? Two siblings, children, 8 and 6 or so. John has stolen something from Mary, a toy. And it's Mary's favorite toy. He doesn't even want that. He just wants to bug her and takes her doll. He doesn't play with dolls, but he takes it anyways. All right? Oh, what a squabble. Right, kids? What a squabble there will be between John and Mary because John has taken Mary's doll. Dad hears this in the background, and Mom hears it in the background. What's going on here? Oh, this is Mary. Johnny took my doll. Johnny says, no, but that's because you took something from me yesterday. Right? Revenge. So then, Mom will say to John, John, I want you to ask for forgiveness. I want you to say, I'm sorry. I want you to say, forgive me, to Mary. And so I can just imagine, John, a scenario, right? Forgive me. Comes from the lips, it's not from the heart yet, right? That's okay. We need to learn that as we go along. In time, you will need to learn it from the heart. And then Mary, hearing John say, forgive me, it's a matter of her then saying, I forgive you. Maybe not all the way from the heart, but at least you're saying it, and that's important because you're being taught that forgiveness is important. There will come a time as you grow in your spiritual walk with God and in your life that you will be able to say these things from the bottom of your heart, that you truly are asking someone to forgive you and that you are truly able to forgive someone. In that way, forgiveness needs to come from the heart. It's taught by obligation, no doubt. But Paul is insisting to Philemon that he doesn't want this to be simply a child's play of saying, I told you to forgive him, now forgive him. He He wants us to come out of his character of faith and love, about which he has commended Philemon in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. The foundation of the whole concept of forgiveness is love. The way we go about this, the means for this, is through taking the time to understand one another. Verses 12 through 16 highlight that. And in verses 12 through 16, we hear Paul speaking to Philemon. And saying to Philemon, you know, I want you to speak to him, but I want you to have the right attitude. Paul, I want you to understand what Philemon is feeling right now. He's scared of you. Imagine that. And you're not an ogre. I know that. But Philemon, I want you to understand what Onesimus is going through. So peace, be patient. Walk a few kilometers in his shoes, or sandals, I suppose, at that time, just to understand what he would be going through. Just imagine what Onesimus is feeling like. Onesimus, by the way, I want you to take a moment to put yourselves into Paul's shoes, sandals. And I want you to understand how, I'm sorry, Philemon's shoes. Philemon's sandals. I want you to understand that Philemon is offended by what you did. He has provided for you all these years and the work that you have done. Everything that he has, everything that you need. He has been a good Christian master. He has provided it for you, and yet you have stolen from him. And there's a sense of broken trust. So Onesimus, I want you to understand what Philemon might be going through. It's a matter of being able to speak what needs to be spoken with a heart of understanding. What this often means in our circumstances that we go through is that we need to go through this process in an atmosphere of spiritual care. We need to say the right thing, yes. But we need to say so in an attitude which will be well received. So it needs to be spoken, but at the right time and in the right circumstances, the right place. It's not enough for us to go to a brother and say very angrily, here is what you have done to me, and I'm leaving now because Ephesians and the Bible tells me that I have to speak what's on my mind. And I have told you, right? I've spoken the truth, have I not? Oh, yeah, but have you done it the right time, in the right place, with the right attitude? Have you done it, as Paul has written to the Ephesians in another letter, speaking the truth in love? Oh, that's what this is all about, right? We have just talked about the atmosphere of love. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all in all grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Notice that Paul nowhere minimizes the sin that Onesimus has committed against Philemon. Nowhere does he say to Philemon, you know what, just it was a shallow moment. He wasn't thinking, just forget about it. Just forget that it happened, right? No. Sin needs to be dealt with. A wrongdoing needs to be reconciled. There is no room for excuses with Paul. He pleads for forgiveness on the base of the merits of both parties, both of whom are fellow Christians. So we look at this and then we begin to understand that Paul is helping Philemon to see Onesimus' perspective and Onesimus to see Philemon's perspective. And then he moves to the where the rubber hits the road, to the reconciliation, in verses 17 to 21. The basis of forgiveness is love. The means by which we do that is by understanding. The goal of forgiveness is reconciliation. That's the end result that Paul is looking for here. When we look at this, then we begin to understand that this is patterned precisely after what Jesus Christ has done. That's what Paul is after. No doubt that's what drove Onesimus, by God's Holy Spirit touching his heart, and what Paul said, to go to the feet of Jesus Christ. Because Paul will have explained what Jesus Christ has done and how God forgives us. He may very well have used some of the words of Psalm 103 to show a model for this forgiveness that needs to take place. So that reconciliation will occur. And Paul is dealing with his reconciliation in the fact that both parties have a responsibility to work through this with an attitude of reconciliation that is proper. Sir Thomas Browne, from the 1600s in the time of the Puritans and even before that, physician, not a theologian, but a physician who wrote on theological topics, writes this: to forgive our enemies and yet hope that God will punish them is not to forgive enough. To forgive them ourselves and not to pray God to forgive them is a partial piece of charity. Listen to this. Forgive your enemies totally without any hope that somehow God will bring revenge. I forgive you. But I'm secretly hoping that God will do something to punish you for what you did. Oh, I'm seeing some smiles. Does that sound almost familiar, right? I forgive you, but I hope that, you know, some people talk about karma. What goes around comes around, right? Mm-mm. That's not God's way. There's no karma in God's way. Total forgiveness and praying that God will also forgive the one who has harmed us. Oh, that's where reconciliation begins to take place. Now, let's be cautious about this reconciliation process, because I've already said that it takes two to go into this reconciliation process. And each one has the responsibility to take that first step. I am fully aware that there will be circumstances in our lives in which a perpetrator of a crime against someone else, let's just say a man has molested or raped a young woman, for her to go and take the first step to go back to the molester, the perpetrator, not wise. So we do know that there needs to be some exceptions in some extreme cases like that. But the biblical guideline still holds. I don't know how you are with this, but many times when I have had somebody that has offended me, I will say, you know what, I think I'll just wait for him to come to me. Because after all, he's the one who offended me. And the one who has done the offending is going to say, you know what I did wasn't all that terribly bad and so on and so forth, but I'm really waiting for him to come to talk to me. Let him take the first step. Because both think that they're in the right. Ever happened to you? God's model is this. Johnny, we'll use John now because they're adults, okay? And Mary. John has done something wrong, and Mary has been hurt by this because of something that John has said about her to someone else, for instance. The model is this one then. John says, by the design of reconciliation that takes place, I need to go and speak to her and reconcile this. Mary, on the other hand, is, by the design of reconciliation that the Bible speaks, I need to approach John and let him know what happened offended me. And so, John is walking down the road, and Mary's walking down the road. Maybe maybe supported by their wives or their spouse or somebody. They're going down the road and they're going to go. They're both thinking, you know, I got to take this opportunity to meet each other. And they're meeting down, and here's the crossroad, right? And they meet there, and John says to Mary, I need to talk. No, Mary says, I need to talk to you. No. That's the ideal. Where both of them want to be the first to express a Christian love for the other and a willingness to reconcile. Never. Never expecting the other to come and make the first step. Because both Onesimus and Philemon are committed Christians and are expected to take the first step. And if the other doesn't respond to that first step, if Mary says to John, you have offended me, and John says, I didn't do anything, that's not her responsibility. Her responsibility is to approach and take that first step. And if John says to Mary, I want you to forgive me for what I did to you, and she says, no, I won't do that, that's not John's responsibility. He has done what he's been called to do. She has been done what she's called to do when she initiates. The rest is left to God and his Holy Spirit working in our lives. These things may be sensitive subjects for us, but it's what God teaches in his word. And I've chosen this topic not because one of the elders has said, hey, can you come and talk to us about forgiveness? We've got some things going on here. I don't know all the details of what goes on in a congregation. I do know that there often are times when forgiveness needs to be dealt with in an individual life or a congregational life. I don't know. This is a message from the Lord for all of us, children, young people, adults. Two fine Christian men had to deal with that here between Philemon and Onesimus. God's model for us is to forgive others just as God in Christ has set the model for us and has forgiven us. And may we be reconciled one to another. And when you struggle with this, when you have been wronged, or if you have offended somebody, read through Philemon once again. It'll take you about 3 minutes. That's how long the letter is. Read through, take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. Read through the book of Philemon. Ask God's Holy Spirit to guide you, because he will, when you follow the principles set forth here in Philemon and in other parts of Scripture as well. May God bless you in that. Amen.